somewhere between when we recorded it and when we edited it, they both died. He got shit for killing a fly.
Whereas everybody thinks Sarah Palin's a hero because she could shoot a wolf from a helicopter.
She's, there's something about her, though, and I hate to say it's her good looks, but she just grabs you when she's on the screen. You can't. Check this out, I've got something to say. Then it's all out in here. When they stop the drum machine and I can think again, I remember what it was. Welcome to Countless Screaming Argonauts.
I am T-Fab-P, the Fabulous Penguin.
And I'm Max.
And this is episode 98 of the award-winning Countless Screaming Argonauts podcast. Today is Sunday, July 12th, 2009. And Max and I are just a couple shows, couple of sandwiches short of the 100 show picnic that we'll have.
A couple of bubbles shy of a level.
Yeah, could be. Couple of beers short of a six-pack.
Couple of bulbs shy of a storm.
But I thought that tonight was sort of like a practice for what we are talking about doing for our 100th anniversary show.
Okay.
And that is a bunch of quick hits. We've done this a couple of times before, and I think have been quite good at it.
Well, they generally go well, I think.
It's a good way to kind of get a bunch of this stuff out. That we can at least talk a little bit about without spending hours, as we know we do, we can.
There has been a lot of news.
There has.
The last podcast we did, while I butchered it, whoever's listening to this, the editing was my problem. Wasn't that usual slick penguin editing. But we talked about Billy Mays and Michael Jackson in the course of doing our podcast, and by the time...
It was a foreshadowing.
Somewhere between when we recorded it and when we edited it, they both died.
So we should be very careful who we talk about.
Who we talk about.
Sarah Palin.
Well, I was going more for the... actually, the first person I thought of was Muammar Gaddafi for some reason. But
Norm Coleman.
And the fearless leader, what's the guy's name in Iran? The Ayatollah Khamenei?
I get those guys all mixed up. There's just not enough. There's too many. Most of them have too many vowels in their name, and then some of them have not enough vowels in their name.
And a lot of them are similar. The old Ayatollah Khamenei, and this
one's sure.
Khamenei, and there's too many Khameneis and too many Ayatollahs. But anyway, we have a list of...
Well, we got 15, so let's just hop right in.
All right. The first one is Al Franken has been made the United States Senator, and it's about time.
Only, like, what, about 9 months late?
Yeah.
Now, does he get to stay in office longer because...
I don't think so.
...they didn't certify him until now?
No.
There should be a penalty. There should be like a penalty clause, you know?
Well, that's the thing that bothers me.
If you don't get certified till August, you get to stay in 9 months longer.
Yeah. I think, actually, and like I said in the note, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I think the Republicans who held the State House and Tim Pawlenty could have certified the election. I think they had
They could have.
Every reason to not certify it for their own political gain.
And they didn't.
They just sat there and held on until the Supreme Court said, you have to do this.
You got to do it. Yeah, you got to.
Courts can actually make people do things. It's called specific performance. Well, maybe that's not the right place for specific performance. But anyway, courts can order you to do things. You know, they have, it's almost like an executive power, and eventually I think that's what happened here.
Well, this whole thing raised one interesting question for me.
What was that?
And that is that the Supreme Court ordered that the RNC had to pay Al Franken's court costs.
Yeah.
And the question is that irony or poetic justice? And I think it's poetic justice because there's a penalty involved.
Yeah.
You know, for the RNC to have to pay, I don't know, $900,000 in court costs or something.
Yeah.
Is it? You know, I think that that's I think that's poetic justice.
What are the two definitions again?
Well, irony is where you get the shift, but there's no positive or negative feeling to it.
Oh, okay.
You know, it rains on your wedding day. That's irony. Okay, poetic justice would be, you know, that after all this fighting, you not only do you lose the seat, but then you have to pay the court
on top
costs.
Of it. Yeah, I think I'm not sure about rain on your wedding day, but I do think this is poetic justice. Although the Republicans may feel that they got their money's worth out of this $900,000 for the Republican National Committee, which is all the Republicans in the country, maybe. It's one way to look at it. You know, maybe they felt like they sufficiently slowed down the Democrats. That's $100,000 a month.
Right. Well, maybe
they got what they wanted. Second thing on my list is President Obama is talking to the Russians. And there was somebody at work that was talking to me about this and was complaining about it. And I just couldn't figure out what's wrong with him talking to the Russians.
Right. Well, there seems to be this whole... You remember it came up a lot during the campaign about not setting benchmarks for a leader to go talk to some of these other countries and stuff. And I wonder if it's, you know, some of it is just like an oversimplification of that. I mean, jeepers, didn't Nixon talk to the Chinese?
Well, right.
Didn't Reagan talk to the West, to the East
Germans?
To
the Russians.
I mean, isn't that what you're supposed to do?
And in this case, absolutely. In the case of Iran, there's sort of a political dance that probably should happen beforehand. And it actually has happened. Obama's gone over there and made speeches, but he hasn't met with the Iranian leaders. But in the case of going to meet the president of Russia, or Putin, whichever comes first, there's nothing wrong with him going over there. You know, I heard...
Of course not.
I heard on another podcast, I can't remember which one it was, but they said that Obama pissed off Putin, the Tuesday he was over there, he decided to stay in with his family instead of going out drinking with Putin.
Uh-huh.
And that was considered an insult, I guess.
Well, you know how much the Russians like
yeah.
their vodka. So
I believe this is a true story, that Putin was a little bit insulted. But I also read that Obama spent more time talking to Medvedev, and he's actually the official leader of Russia. I think Obama was trying to send a message that, you know, if you're going to run things from behind the scenes, behind the screen, as it were, then I'm going to...
Pay no attention
exactly.
to behind the screen.
So, you know, I think Obama wins in this deal, and I don't see anything bad in what he did in Russia.
Yeah, just as another side note to this whole thing, mentioning Obama wanting to spend time with his family and not going out drinking, he seems to have developed this propensity to have these little social faux pas, like the one that I can think of right away was when his wife put her arm around the
yes.
Queen of England.
Yeah, who knew, right?
You know, and there's just certain things that you're not right, supposed to do. And I know that there's probably a protocol
oh, sure.
officer who briefs everybody and says, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. It's like Simon says. Simon says, do this, do this, do this, don't do
right,
this,
right.
do this, do this. You know, and probably said, you know, don't touch the queen. And she forgot.
Right.
But it just seems like he has this propensity to kind of to
yeah,
kinda
he made a comment
things.
On Jay Leno's show that could have been perceived as politically incorrect, at least, or insulting to handicapped people.
Oh, right, the
right,
Special
right.
Olympics or something.
And
yeah.
it, you know, it was the most minor of offenses, but it was...
Well, he was being
self-deprecatious. Right.
And
he's...
And, Well, yeah, but you can't do that at somebody else's expense. You know, so
it was an unfortunate remark at the worst, I think. You know, it was really no harm intended. He got shit for killing a fly.
Yep. Whereas everybody thinks Sarah Palin's a hero because she could shoot a wolf from a helicopter.
Yeah, well, the NRA seems to think that that's okay. I think the PETA people were probably against Sarah Palin shooting the wolves, too. Because they were certainly against Obama for killing a fly. I suppose
I hope so. All right, number three on the list.
The United States has officially pulled out of the cities in Iraq. That's a big deal.
Sure. And there was an escalation of violence. That was expected.
Right. And Cheney gave Obama shit in the media for pulling out on the Bush-Cheney timetable, which was ironic. It's ironic. And what did we talk about while all of this politics was going on? Number four on the list.
Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson died. I swear, I saw somebody on the news say that 500 million people hit this one website on this one day before they gave away tickets for the...
Well, I mean, he essentially crashed the internet, he crashed Twitter, he crashed Dig. I mean, you know, and I don't understand it. I mean, we were sitting around as a family having this discussion about him the night he died. And, you know, I mean, you cannot underestimate his contribution to music. I mean, I personally think that he, along with about four other people or groups, have had the most influence on music in the world over the last 30 years.
Well,
we said Elvis, Bob
Dylan,
the Beatles,
and Michael Jackson.
And Michael Jackson, you know, but, I mean, you know, I heard that the people committed suicide. I've heard people traveling thousands of miles to stand outside his home.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, to me, that's just, it goes beyond adoring fans and kind of gets into
Lunacy area,
yeah. Or, as I like to say, morons.
Yeah, it belongs in dumb, not so dumb, I think.
And not only did we have all this thing on Michael Jackson, but his death was so big that we went against the rule of three.
Yeah.
We always have, these things always happen in three, and when Michael Jackson died, like within a couple days, you had David Carradine committing suicide, Ed McMahon, Farrah Fawcett, Billy Mays, and Michael Jackson. It took five of them to cover.
Yeah.
You know? To cover the Michael Jackson.
I'll tell you what, as far as he goes, the song has been running through my head lately is Man in the Mirror, and when I heard it, I thought, that's a song he wrote because he knows he did something wrong. I'm starting with the man in the mirror. I'm getting him to change his ways or something like that. I don't know what his crimes were or if there were actually any. Nothing was ever convicted. But considering his at least tenuous grasp on the straight and narrow, shall we say, I thought he was lionized to a much too great of a degree. And having said that, there's two other quick Michael Jackson points I want to make. One is that the first time I saw the moonwalk, I actually was confused. It was such a brilliant dance move that I really wasn't sure whether he was going forward or backward. And the other weird thing that I heard was that he actually holds a patent for a thing that they put in the floor and that he can snap on his shoe and snap into this connector on the floor. And that's how he did those long leans that he would do in this one dance sequence. So little known and unimportant facts about Michael Jackson. And that's really all I care to say about him.
Yeah, you know, like I said, it's a loss. He was a brilliant contributor to the American music scene, but that's where it stops. But, I mean, you know, it's hardly different from people who idolize baseball players or
Princess
football
Di.
Players or, you know, whatever. Princess Di would be another.
Can we talk about David Carradine for a second? Because this is something that's confused me for a while. My understanding is that he did not kill himself, that it was something called autoerotic asphyxiation. And it somehow has to do with cutting off...
having sex
and losing your air. And I think the lead singer for INXS, they like find people hanging on the doors of their closets. And I don't understand actually what they're doing. Do you know what it is that they're doing? Do you care? Is it not worth mentioning?
Well, I understand. I mean, I think they cut off their blood supply, and that's supposed to cause the
orgasm is better if you're
intensify.
Dying.
Right. But, I mean, your partner is supposed to stop it before it.
And the, you know, and the thing is that they do it alone and then, like...
Well, I think that that's a possibility, and, you know, a little slip here, a little not too tight, and
I don't know. It's still something I'm curious about because it.
And I technically, I think, although it might not be suicide, technically, that's what it is. I mean,
well,
let's
he
not,
has
let's
killed
call a spade
himself
a spade here, you know.
But
at his own hand, with his own hands.
Well, that's the kicker,
although he wasn't trying to, but. You know, accidental overdose.
Yeah.
You know, if you're you know, taking 30 or 40 pills a night for something, and one night you take 50 because you forgot you took 10, and you die. I mean, that's you know,
it's death
suicide,
at your own hands. But I guess the operative thing is intent, and I think I've heard people say he didn't intend to die, and I suppose heroin addicts that overdose. Don't intend to die either. So
don't intend to die either, right?
No, no, I don't.
Do you think Michael Jackson intended to die? With the needle stuck in his neck and the 40 Xanax a night?
Is that what happened?
You know, so... Well, I think that there is so much out there on the internet, and it's hard to know what's fact and what's not fact.
You mean I can't trust the internet?
Yeah, pretty much. I get to be careful.
I didn't hear that one. I've tried to avoid it.
Whether he's taking sleep, you know, a large amount of sleeping pills. I heard that he was using a thing that they use to put people out for operations.
Right. That's what I
know. That was another one of those things. I don't think any. You know, when they. I mean, his blood toxicology has got to look like a pharmacy.
Right, and somebody's going to jail.
Two parts blood, 173 parts medication.
Yeah. If I were his doctor and they haven't pulled my passport, you know, I'm out to Brazil right now. I'm going somewhere where the sun shines brightly, but there's no extradition. Because, you know, somebody's going to jail.
You would think.
Just for malpractice, criminal malpractice, that's my guess. But anyway.
But I mean, you know, the flip side of that is that I also heard that he was getting prescriptions from
different drugs.
A huge number of doctors through other people who were getting the medication for him. I mean, you know.
Right. Well, he had enablers up the kazoo.
Right.
Anyway, I don't want to talk about him anymore.
Nope. Next one.
Oh, the oil price thing drives me nuts.
Sure it does.
But since I wrote this, where oil prices...
It started to come down.
Yes, and did you see there was an article in the New York Times that Obama is considering re-regulating the...
The speculative nature of some of the oil...
The speculative markets.
Limiting how much speculation they can...
Right,
do.
And that article came out in the Times, and the oil gas prices started to come down a little bit. Right after that.
Right.
It's no doubt in my mind this is profiteering.
I mean, it makes some sense if you think, why would the prices continue to go up with demand dropping?
Well, and...
It doesn't make sense. It's got to be speculation. And there's no other explanation
for it.
That's
right. And everybody, I hate to just sit here and say it, and the Republicans say, but generally it's the Republicans who say, you know, the market will make everything right. But this is not a free market. And
no, of course
and,
not.
And markets don't always work. I mean, the whole credit thing that got us in this mess in the first place was an unregulated market. I'm firmly convinced that capitalism, raw, unfettered capitalism, would eventually always end up with one person or one company winning. It's like Monopoly. You know, somebody gets all the money. And the only way to keep the game going forever is to have regulation. But the problem with the oil market is OPEC, which does not follow any American laws.
But they're also pretty
impotent. No, not so. Saudi Arabia has cut back oil supplies. They've cut back production. And it's had an effect.
But that didn't affect, that really didn't affect the price. It's demand that affects the price. Except in the speculation.
Well, yeah, you got a point. But the supply has been reduced, but there's still too much supply because we've been cutting back on the demand so much.
All right, okay. Now I got a quick oil story, personal oil story. Okay, I used to be with an oil company that delivered my oil for my heating oil. And every year I get a 10-month contract. I pay for 1,000 gallons of oil. They set the price. I pay monthly for 10 months. And at the end of 10 months, they look at how much oil I actually used and how much the cost actually was. And then they either refund or require you to pay the extra. So this year, the 1,000 gallons, they were charging me $3.50 a gallon for heating oil. Got about halfway through the year, the average oil heating price was about $2.20. So I called them up and I said, listen, we got to renegotiate this. I can't be paying $3.50 a month for this. I'm not using that much oil. So there was a lot of hemming and hawing. And he finally said, okay, I'll let you go down to $250 a month. So for the first 5 months, I paid $3.50 a month. And for the next 5 months, I paid $2.50 a month. So it gets to be July, so now it's time for them to redo it. And I'm saying to myself, well, I hope I get $100 or so back. I got $760 back, which means I could have been paying $250 a month for the whole year and have come nowhere close. I still would have gotten money back.
Well,
and so rather than being ecstatic that I got a check for $760, I was angry because, A, they made me pay $350 for 6 months or 5 months, and they hemmed and hawed when I wanted to drop it. So I switched oil companies. I went to a different company that has a different system. And this system basically is that they set the price, they set it a cap. So the set price right now is $2.29 a gallon. The cap is $2.79.
Now, do you have to pay $100 to lock that in?
Yes, I do. But to me, it's worth it because they apply it to the bill.
Oh, sure.
It's not like it's $100 that I have to actually pay $250. But it gets applied to
the... I know people here that locked in $4.50 a gallon at the beginning of the fall last year. Because it had been going up so fast.
Right.
And they did.
And they got screwed with that. Right. Well, I only get... By paying this $250 fee, I pay the market price, and it never goes
above
$2.79. So even if it goes to $3 a gallon, I still only pay $2.79. But it's not going to go...
You think it's
going to
stay well below $2.79?
Yeah, I think it's going to probably go $2.40, $2.50. It's like
it? All right. I haven't paid... Well, gasoline here had been stuck at $2.71 for a long time. It's just down around $2.69 at the Indian gas station. It was $2.54, but they don't have to pay New York State taxes.
Yeah, well, we were up around up around $2.65, and we're down at $2.39 right now. So, I mean, you know, it's dropped 30 cents in the last three, four weeks.
The one station that always raises, always has a high price here in town, I paid $2.71 this morning. That's a lot. If right. you're paying $239?
Yeah, that is. Between $239 and $246.
Well, I hope you're right, because I did a similar thing. I negotiated, but I just called. I'm associated with a co-op, and I called up my oil company that's with the co-op, and I said
right.
they wanted me to pay $450 a month for heating oil, and I said I can't do that. I'm thinking things are way too high, the politics is all wrong, the price is out of any kind of reasonable proportion, and I just want to pay less. And they said, how much? I said $200, and they said, oh, well, how about $250? So we did that. And I actually was late on a payment. I skipped a payment on my own, and I still ended up like $250 ahead. So I'm not sure where I'm going to go, but I think July is my last month off, and I'll have to make an oil payment starting next month.
Okay, onward and
upward. Unemployment's going up, and the Republicans are blaming Obama. Is that fair?
I don't know if you can.
I don't either.
How can you? Well,
yeah, it's a good question, though.
I don't know.
The stock market's bottomed out. Maybe not.
Maybe.
Oh, what's next?
Maybe not.
Sarah Palin. Did you watch the resignation?
Sarah Palin.
What did you think?
I did. I was so confused at the end. I had to have a drink.
She seemed to be doing us a favor by quitting, from what I could tell.
It seemed like that. It really, really did. There was a very, very. Did you read the article that was in Vanity Fair?
No, I meant to, and I didn't. Yeah.
You really should. It's chock full. I mean, it's just chock full of stuff. You know, and basically, you know, if you had to sum it up, you know, like key points. One of the bullet points is not even McCain's closest political advisors felt that she was anywhere prepared to be the vice presidential candidate.
Yeah. So why did they pick her?
You know, and so if your advisors are saying that, you have to say, you know, what WTF John McCain. You know, what was he thinking?
Just going for the women's vote, I guess. I don't know.
I guess. But I personally, I don't think she's got a shot at 212. I don't think she's got a shot at 216.
Yeah.
2016. I think politically she's
there's something about her,
done.
Though. And I hate to say it's her good looks, but she just grabs you when she's on the screen.
Well, I think it's the Joe the Plumber.
Yeah. It's the train wreck thing.
You know, she's able to say those things. Like, I never was for the bridge to nowhere, and people believe it, even though it's a flat-out lie. I've never been convicted of ethics violation.
Yeah.
It's a flat-out lie. But they want to believe her because they see her as this strong woman who's politically in their corner. And so they, you know, like with a lot of politicians, people believe what they think they need to believe, rather than what's actual truth.
Well, I think you're right.
We're up to number 10, and this is becoming one of my favorite topics
you like
of conversation.
The Mark Sanford story, huh?
Well, I like it for two reasons. One reason I like it is because it is another one of these fundamental Christian drum beaters who has come out for family values and this, you know, that running on this purity ticket, and he got his hand caught
in
the cookie
jar. It's absolute hypocrisy. It is the definition of hypocrisy.
You know, and it's just, you know, no matter what you can say anything you want about Elliot Spitzer or Bill Clinton or
and Elliot Spitzer was a hypocrite too.
But at least, right? But I mean, Bill Clinton was not out there saying, you know, he's no Gingrich. Commenting on your infidelity while he's boffing the aid while his wife's dying of cancer. I mean, you know, these guys are just, you know, they've got too many faces
to talk and
out.
Like I said, they taught us in Catholic school that the worst kind of sinner is a hypocrite.
Right. Okay. So that's one reason I like it. The other reason I like it is because I love when you have these kind of scandals and they add words
to the American
lexicon.
What'd you get?
And we got a new euphemism.
Oh, right.
Walking the Appalachian Trail. You know? Now, walking the Appalachian Trail means having a,
yeah,
a dalliance with your mistress.
That's true.
You know, I think it's just great. I mean,
no, that
is
great.
You can't make this stuff up.
Did you get that from Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me?
No, I got that on my own.
Oh, is that right? Because they did a big thing on it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. Well, I mean, it's so obvious.
It is.
You know, he comes back and says, I was out walking the Appalachian Trail. And, like, I mean, the word trail was barely out of his mouth. And people are running up to tell us about the Argentine mistress and
right.
stuff. And what's this deal with John Ensign and his parents paying off the family?
But breaking it up into small enough bits so that it wouldn't show up. Nobody got any more than $12,000.
Right. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Mommy and Daddy take care of me?
And the man's got gray hair. How old are his parents?
I don't know, but I wish I had parents like that.
That's right. Jeez. I'm screwing someone who's not my wife. Would you pay her to shut up, please?
Right, I know. It's ridiculous.
It's a political path. And you know that if the shoe was on the other foot and this was a Democrat, either one of these was a Democrat, that the Republicans would be screaming about their morality.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
But
absolutely.
For the most part, I think their job should be judged on how well they're doing their job.
Right.
I do think it's fair for a voter to look at a person's character. And if you want to look at infidelity and say, I won't vote for this person because they've proven themselves to be untrustworthy, I don't have a problem with that either. I don't particularly want to stand on my moral high horse and say these people are bad because of their infidelities. I just like to say they're bad because they're hypocrites.
Right. But I also think that, you know, if you're going to stand there and say, I can't vote for this guy because he's unfaithful to his wife, and you're humping the babysitter at your house, I mean, you know, get a grip.
Plus, for a while, you know, every time some celebrity would die, Mark Sanford would get back out there and say something stupid again. He seemed to want to be a bigger story than Michael Jackson, and an opportunity to hide for a while was there, and he just let it go.
Right, I agree.
There was a story on the cover of the New York Times the other day that porn production was down by 50%.
I was shocked at that, although when you think about it, I always thought that porn was like recession-proof, like breakfast
like
cereal.
Beer, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, as a matter of fact, breakfast cereal, beer, porn, I think their sales go up when recession is in place because it's, you know, entertainment and dining
right.
that you can still do.
Right. I thought you were going for the pun there.
When I was thinking about it, I think that the porn industry may be dealing with the same issue that the newspaper industry is dealing with. And that is there's so much free stuff available
yes.
out there
yes.
that... You know, why would you pay? Why would you? You know, it seems inconceivable to me, but why would you pay $30 for a 2-hour DVD of porn when you can go to Pirate Bay and download it for free?
It's all over the web.
You know, plus, yeah,
there
plus
was somebody
that,
I
know,
can't
so.
Remember who it was now. Some woman who had a. Husband who was a politician, a famous actress. I think it was Billy Joel's ex-wife. Her uh-huh. new soon-to-be ex-husband was paying thousands of dollars for internet porn.
Oh, no. Yeah, it was, I know who you're talking about. The model. Not Cheryl.
Yeah, Christy Brinkley.
I know who you mean. Christy
right.
Brinkley.
Her current ex. It was, you know, right. and first of all, you married to Christy Brinkley, which is something. Yeah, I never thought she was the most beautiful girl in the world, you know, in the days of Cheryl Teagues and all those other ones.
Right, but you don't kick her out
of the bed. No. And then to be paying thousands of dollars in porn when there's all
right,
of this.
Not hundreds, thousands of dollars.
Right. So
$9,600 on a month or
something? Something like that, yeah. And you're like, what? You know, feed a starving Ethiopian or something.
Right. All right, we're in the home stretch.
Okay.
Four more to do, and then I got a quick one to go out.
All right. Obama honors the gays, but he doesn't allow them to be in the military. The thing that right. bothers me about this is that we have Arabic-speaking people that want to work in the military and help us defend ourselves against terrorists, and we're not letting them help because they're gay. That's where the tipping point is for me. I have nothing against gay people. I just never was big on gay issues. But all of a sudden, this is just so monumentally stupid that I have to say something. But that's what I said.
Right. All right. And that leads right into the next one. The whole question of civil unions and everything that's going on in California and all this other stuff.
Yeah, well, I think
I like your idea.
Yeah.
You know, I think that you reserve the term marriage for religious ceremony.
Right.
And you use the word civil union for
the contract.
The joining of two people committing their lives to each
right.
other.
Right. And the state gets to decide who is allowed to join their lives together in a legally binding contract. They're going to call it a civil
right.
union. And
the church gets to decide who gets married. And if they don't want to let gay people get married in their church, that's okay.
Right. Because why should
and
the
I have
state?
No issues with that
yeah, why should the state say, "This is what you believe. This is what you need to believe as a religion"? I think that's where we're stepping on people's toes. Now,
sure.
I have all kinds of problems.
It's that whole separate. It's that whole separate church and state issue.
That's my feeling. Yeah.
You know, and what bothers me about this is that you know that the state can jump up and down and say you know you can't have church and state together, but we have in God we trust on our money.
Well, yeah, and
which I think is,
but that's because you get a bunch of reactionary jingoistic politicians in the McCarthy era in the 1950s, and they say things like, well, we have to put under God in the Pledge of Allegiance. We don't have to have a
right.
pledge. That's an oath. There's
sure.
something in the Constitution, I think, about you're not required to take an oath. You don't have to swear on the Bible to give testimony in court.
Which plays into that whole thing at Yankee Stadium about the guy getting arrested for not wanting to stay in his seat during the playing
right. yeah,
of
I thought,
God Bless America. You can't legislate
you
patriotism.
You can't legislate patriotism, just like you can't let...
Patriotism, by definition, is the ability to do what you feel is best for
right,
you.
Right, right. That's the whole thing about America. It's the whole idea why it should be legal to burn the flag and still abhorrent. You gotta let people have their freedom. People talk about freedom in America, particularly the right wings, and they say, you know, well they just act like freedom means standing up and pledging allegiance and staying in your seat during the seventh inning stretch
It's such an adolescent view of things. You know, it's like the adolescent who says, I need to be myself, and then he dresses like
right,
every
because,
other
because he wants to be
teenager.
An individual. Yes.
Right. You know, it's the same thing. You know, it's ridiculous. It's in a backward sort of way, it's kind of like the same approach that these abortion-killing... religious
yeah.
fanatics. I mean, you know, they come out and say killing the babies is wrong, but it's okay to kill the doctors who kill the babies. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense.
Well, actually, I think that does make sense. I remember having a discussion with my friend Dave's oldest son about this when he was still a teenager, and he said, if they take it to its extreme, if they're... That's kind of where the logic takes you. If you need to kill a guilty person to protect an innocent person. I don't know.
Yeah, but you know what? You can't be the one.
Well, and I think that's where you're on a very strong moral ground. It's who gets to decide. Once we have everybody deciding who's evil, then we have anarchy in the streets.
Right. And
yeah.
That's what we have.
Yeah. But logically, if you think, I mean, if you saw someone, you know, murdering a child, and you could, you know, brain him with a baseball bat, you would take it upon yourself to save the child. It's in their perception, they're saving innocent children.
Right, but the law says it's not a child.
Well, right, and that's.
I mean, that's like saying that if you see somebody running a red light, you can take out a gun and shoot them.
Well,
and then, you know, they go through a yellow light and you take out the gun and shoot them because you're saying, well, it was going to be
yeah,
red.
That's a little too strong of a, yeah.
It's simplistic, but it's meant to be.
It's a simplistic show, yeah.
It's a CSA podcast. Right.
There's a new slogan for us in there somewhere.
Probably. All right, now you're going to have to explain. We're up to number 14.
All right.
We only got two more to go. You have to explain to me, what's the New York State Legislature problem? I don't know too much about it.
The New York State Legislature recently, after 40 years, went to a Democratic majority in the state Senate, 32 senators to 30 Republican senators. And one of the Democrats, Pedro Espada, I believe his name is, decided to join with the Republicans, and he brought a Democrat with him. And this is over a span of time. So then there were two Democrats plus 31 Republicans, which made them have the majority again, and he wanted to be Speaker of the Senate or some damn thing. And the Republicans, with these couple of Democrats, had the majority. So then one of them went back to the Democrats, and then it was 31 apiece. And for 2 weeks, they met. At one point, the guy, I forget which party, I think it was the Democrats, who had the key to the Senate chambers, locked out the Republicans. And they would, one side would get up and say, hey, you know, we're going to pass these laws because we have a majority. And the other side would stand up and say, no, you can't do that. You don't have a majority. You have the same number that we do. And this bullshit went on for 2 weeks. And then this guy who was president pro tem of the Senate said, I get to vote twice. Once for me and once as president pro tem of the Senate. And then and this is all because Elliot Spitzer was fooling around with the call girl. There's no okay.
Call girls.
There's no vice president. I forget the term for the governorship. There's no second in command because we still have a temporary governor. And he sort of fixed things by appointing a second in command, a lieutenant governor. And so now Pedro Espada has gone back to the Democrats, and they named him like head of the chamber, I forget the title. And it's just absurd. And actually, zero business of the state. The New York State Senate
has been dealt with over the last
They're
like,
being
what, month.
Sued by the city of Yonkers and some guy on Long Island because there are bills that dole out state money to the municipalities that aren't getting done. And like Yonkers is going to go broke because they're not getting money that's been budgeted, and they don't know how to make their budgets, and the whole state is grinding to a halt while these guys fight for who has power.
It sounds
like
adolescent drama.
They ought to send every stinking member of the New York State Senate home for good, both parties, and especially Pedro Espada.
And let him start all over again?
I'm telling you, find somebody on the street. If you can write your name and you're a New York State citizen, you can do a better job in the New York State Senate. Right.
Okay, we got one more, and then I got one to lead us out on.
All right.
The polar ice caps are getting smaller. Is anyone still disputing that?
Are they?
I'm sure that there, I mean, you know, there are still people who believe that the Earth is 6,000 years old. There's still people that believe that the Earth
it's
is flat.
Yeah.
There's still people that believe that, you know, the Earth is the center of the universe. So, yeah, I'm sure that there are a bunch of people who believe that.
But you and I don't.
Global warming has nothing to do with anything that we're doing.
Right.
You know, blame it on the dinosaurs. Blame it on the weather. Blame it on the sun. Blame it on the moon. Blame it on, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's, it has nothing to do with our cars and our industry and our pollution.
Right, right. Well, I agree with you completely. And regardless of what people think about global warming, the polar ice caps are getting smaller. We have pictures. And it's a globally significant event. You know, something's going on. The thing that I find most interesting is scientists have speculated that in the past, when the planet got too warm, which it has in the past, it caused the planet to cool down because
right.
of the Gulf Stream and the way it transmits heat around the northern hemisphere. There used to be a whole bunch of fresh water in like Hudson Bay that was trapped, and then things got warmer and it melted and all this cold water went out into the North Atlantic and it stopped the Gulf Stream from turning, and the warming actually made the planet colder again. I think that's interesting.
Okay. All right. I got one to lead us out on. We're way over time, but that's okay.
We had a lot to
cover.
All right.
Now, this is a true story. Okay. This comes right out of the court docket in England.
Okay.
Okay, there's a man, and he's arrested for indecent exposure on a train.
Okay.
A woman claims that he exposed himself to her.
Okay.
On the train. So it goes to trial.
Yeah.
And during the cross-examination, the man's lawyer calls the woman up to talk to her. And he says to her, when he exposed himself to you, did you notice any distinguishing marks?
Right.
And the woman said, no, there were no distinguishing marks.
Have you seen one?
The lawyer,
you've seen them all.
Right. The lawyer then produced a document certified by medical doctors that this man had a tattoo of a lizard on his penis. Now, I would say that's a distinguishing mark.
Well, yeah.
But it goes further. When they asked the guy to describe the tattoo, he said that it was a 7-inch long lizard on his penis. The doctor said it was a 2-inch long tattoo on his penis. But either way, the case was thrown out of court by the judge because the judge felt that
she needed to
a two-inch tattoo on a penis is a pretty distinguishing mark that you should see if you're claiming that he exposed himself to you.
Well, there's a lizard joke in there somewhere, and I can't get it.
Well, I thought of your lizard story about the thinking that the lizard was giving birth, but the guy was actually masturbating the lizard.
One. That's
and there's also that old joke about the guy with "Welcome to the what is it? Welcome to the Caribbean. Have a nice day," tattooed on his penis. And I mean, you know, it's like, you know, well, maybe sometimes the lizard is only 2 inches long,
and sometimes it's 7 inches.
Sometimes
long.
It's 7
that,
inches.
That's what I was wondering. Were they both right?
It could be.
I don't know. That's a funny story, though.
It is. Well, listen, it was great talking. It was great to get back into doing a timely podcast about timely subjects.
Well, we'll see if it actually comes out in a timely manner. We've had some editing trouble.
But I think we're back on the. I think we're back on the beam, and I think that we have a show 99, and then we'll have our 100th episode.
Yeah. I'm going to be in Pennsylvania this week. Not that that's necessarily relevant, but yeah, we should we should run against up against our 100th show pretty soon.
That'll be cool.
Yeah.
All right, you have a good day.
Yeah, you too. This was fun.
Thanks a lot.
We stood on rocky shores and kept the beaches shipwreck free. Though I respect that a lot, I'd be fired if that were my job. After killing James.